Well, good evening. We'll make a start tonight. It's good to see you all out here in the prayer meeting and Bible study on Thursday night in Ballymoney. I welcome you all in the Saviour's name. We're going to commence our service tonight. We're going to sing the hymn number 40 together, the hymn 40. O worship the King, all glorious above. O gratefully sing his power and his love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendour and girded with praise. We'll stand together as we get our introduction. And we'll sing this wonderful hymn of worship unto the Lord, please. Singing, and it's always good singing here in Ballymoney, and I thank you for it, for your worship in that way. We're just going to commence now, and we're going to seek the Lord together in prayer, so let's just still our hearts, and let's seek the Lord now. Our gracious God and our eternal Father in heaven, we come into thy presence this evening. We thank thee that we come in through the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, Lord, that we've come tonight not to worship man, not to worship a person, but to worship God. We thank thee, Lord, for that wonderful hymn that we've been singing about worshiping the King, Lord, and giving our all to thee who has given their all for us on the cross of Calvary. And Lord, we do pray and we do thank thee tonight for thy finished work. We thank thee, Lord, for going to that middle tree and for dying that awful death in Calvary for sinful man. Oh Lord, we thank thee tonight that we here tonight can stand, Lord, on the promise of redemption. We tonight can claim that promise as our own, Lord, knowing that our sins are forgiven us, knowing, Lord, that they've been cast into the sea, never to be seen again. And oh Lord, we do pray this evening that as we come to seek thee in a little while in the place of prayer, Lord, that we would come, Lord, with everything that we have, Lord. We would come, Lord, knowing that we come to one who hears and who answers our prayers. Lord, we thank thee tonight that we don't come to one who is a God of stone, who is a God of wood. We come to the one living and true God. And Lord, we come in through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray for this meeting tonight, and we thank thee, Lord, for the ability to be here. We thank thee, Lord, for the open door on a Thursday night where the people of God can come to pray and can come to wait upon thee, Lord, to leave their petitions upon thee, Lord, to even approach thee, Lord, in that way. And, Lord, knowing that they come to a God who hears and who answers prayer. And Lord, we leave the needs of the church before thee tonight. And Lord, we pray for this service especially. We pray that thou will draw alongside very near to us all. That, Lord, you'll come alongside me tonight as in a little while it will come and I will deliver thy word. Come alongside the congregation who have gathered here, Lord, those who meet even in their homes tonight. And Lord, may we have a blessed time because here tonight we've come to worship thee. Lord, we pray that you will just take control of this meeting, take control of it all, Lord, as we offer up thy praises unto thee in the singing of thy hymns. As we read the word of God, Lord, as we preach the word of God, as we come to prayer, may all be owned of God. May all be done to the honor and to the glory of the Lord of Lords and King of Kings tonight. We do pray tonight for those in this church, Lord, perhaps who are not here tonight for one reason or another, perhaps sick at this time, perhaps unwell, Lord, perhaps even just getting to that age, Lord, where it's not so easy to get to the house of the Lord anymore. And my Lord, we pray that you'll even just come alongside those, that you'll comfort them, comfort those in their bed of sickness tonight, Lord, restore them to a full measure of health and strength. And Lord, we are also mindful of those tonight who are away on holiday. We think especially of our minister tonight. We pray that you'll be with him and his family as they're away enjoying that time of rest and relaxation, Lord, that you'll just keep them safe as a family. You'll undertake for all and meet all of their needs, Lord, that you'll bring them back, Lord, full of vigor, full of strength, Lord, to take up the work here. And Lord, he'll just come back with even a new zeal for thee. We do pray also for the upcoming youth challenge. We think of it. We pray, Lord, as the invitations have been given out, Lord, as there's a few more days even to go, Lord, that you'll bless all the invitations that have gone out, Lord, that we'll see a good number come in, Lord, that the young boys and girls in this area, Lord, will be reached with the message of the gospel, and even through that means that many would be saved for the Lord Jesus Christ. We also think tonight of our brother David and of Rachel and the family. Oh Lord, we pray for them as they make and are making that way, that journey to Uganda, Lord. Bless them, Lord, and Emmanuel over the next 4 or 5 Sundays, Lord. Undertake for all of their needs, both temporal, physical, spiritual, Lord. Pray for David, Lord, as he would seek to reach that community, Lord, with the gospel. Oh Lord, as he seeks to do that outreach, even in the holiday Bible clubs as well. And as Rachel too, Lord, helps and she seeks to aid him in that, Lord, may it all be owned of God. May they see fruit for their labor there. May souls be brought into the kingdom of heaven. Pray for the children as well. Think of Arthur and of Eloise, Lord, that they will settle in very quickly, Lord. What a change it will be for them to Ballymoney. But Lord, we pray that even they will have that enjoyable time, Lord, knowing that they as a family are in the center of thy will. And so, Lord, we pray tonight that you'll just bless them. Undertake for all of our missionaries. Think of those, Lord, who've obeyed the call to go out and to serve thee. Lord, we pray that you'll bless them in their field of service. You'll call out more, Lord, from this church to go into the mission field, to go into the ministry, Lord, to give up their lives for thee. And, oh, Lord, we pray tonight as we come and as we look now in a moment at the word of God, that, Lord, you'll be given all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Oh, Lord, answer prayer. Bless us, we pray. And, oh, Lord, just be with us now, we ask of thee. For Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Well, again, could I just welcome you all here tonight. Welcome everyone here in the church, the congregation who are here physically. Could I also welcome our online viewers tonight, whether it be on sermon audio, whether it be on Facebook or YouTube, whatever way you're worshiping tonight, we give you a welcome tonight in the Savior's name. There's just a few announcements for the incoming week. Next Sunday morning, next Lord's Day, we begin with prayer at the normal time of 8 a.m. And therefore, if you're in the habit of coming out to pray at that meeting, we would encourage you to keep that up. It is great to know that there are so many here in this church that pray, that go to that early morning prayer meeting. And if there maybe is one here tonight, maybe one even at home, that you maybe aren't in the habit of going to that prayer meeting, but you'd like to come, you'd be more than welcome to even come. 8 a.m. is the time as the congregation here meet for that early time of prayer. Next Lord's Day at 12 noon, the worship service. You'll see on the screen the preacher next Lord's Day is the Reverend Ian Gallagher. The Reverend Gallagher has recently retired from Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church in Canada, and he's over here for a little while, and therefore come and encourage him, come and hear God's servant as he brings the word of God next Lord's Day. May you be an encouragement to him, and may he be an encouragement to you as well. And as it is the month of August, there is, of course, the open airs in and around the town of Ballymoney. The venue this week will be in Kernanny at the usual spot at 3:30 p.m. And again, if you're in the habit of going to that, please come support. If you can be there, just support the one who would bring the word, and even support with your presence there. It will be most appreciated. Then we have the gospel service, 7 p.m. Again, the preacher is the Reverend Ian Gallagher, and that will be preceded by the time of prayer at the usual time of 6:30 p.m. On behalf of the minister, on behalf of the session here in Ballymoney, we would just like to thank you for your tithes and for your offerings, for God's work, and for all that you do here to help out with the church. And just one final announcement is that of Youth Challenge, it is coming very close. We've been announcing it for the last few weeks, Monday the 15th through Friday the 19th, so just next Monday, the Youth Challenge here in Ballymoney. Just even try and reach those last few kids, if you can, and just give out the invitations, tell them we're having that. It's going to, of course, take place in two parts. There's the football camp from 2:30 to 5, then up to the church for some dinner, and then the meeting between 7 and 8:30, the junior and the senior meeting. And that will conclude then on the Lord's Day, on the Sunday, with parents' night here in the church, and God willing, the Reverend Park will be here to take that service. And I do believe that's all the announcements that we need to make at this time. If you could turn with me, please, in your Bibles tonight to the book of Leviticus, please, the book of Leviticus, and to the chapter number 1. As you can see from the screen, I'm seeking to commence a little series on just some of the sacrifices in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 1, we're going to do a series on seeing the Savior in the sacrifices. And of course, I'm only here for the next 2 weeks, so we're not going to get through all of them. I hoped I maybe would, but there's so much in them that we'll just start that. And if I'm back again in the future to take a prayer meeting, we'll continue on with the study if it's profitable. Leviticus chapter 1, please, and we're going to read the whole chapter together. And just as you're turning that up, again, could I thank you on behalf of myself, my wife, and the children as well, just for all your support this year for me and for Rebecca, for the kids, and for all that you do for us, both prayerfully and practically as well. We just want to thank you for all of your prayers that mean so much to us as a family, as we even seek to serve the Lord in the college at this time. It's hard to even believe that I'm going into third year now. Just over halfway there. Finished the Greek, and now the Hebrew starts. So I've been told to expect a bit of fun with the Hebrew, and I'm looking forward to it. I trust it will be beneficial, as the Greek has been in the preaching also. But that's enough of me. We've turned now, I'm sure, to the book of Leviticus by now, and the chapter 1, so let's hear from God tonight. Let's hear his word here. The book commences, "And the Lord called unto Moses, and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a meal without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's son shall bring the blood, and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering, and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire upon the altar, lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest Aaron's sons shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a meal without blemish, and he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. And the priest Aaron's son shall sprinkle his blood round about upon the altar, and he shall cut it into his pieces with his head and his fat, and the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water, and the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons, and the priest shall bring it onto the altar and wring off his head, and burn it on the altar, and the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the side of the altar. And he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers, and cast it beside the altar on the east part, by the place of the ashes. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savour unto the Lord. Ending the reading there at the end of chapter 1, we trust the Lord will bless it to your hearts as we come in a little moment just to consider a few verses from the chapter. Just before we do that again, perhaps we could bow our heads just for a moment and just get ourselves into that frame of mind to hear God's word. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the word of God tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for all of it. We thank thee that it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction. And Lord, we pray tonight as we would consider this burnt offering, that, Lord, you will make it alive to us, Lord, that we will above all see Christ in it, that Christ will be glorified through everything that will be said tonight. I pray, Lord, that you will still our hearts, you'll prepare us to receive thy word. Oh, Lord, take me up tonight, use me, fill me with thy spirit, Lord. We pray for the congregation here and at home that you will prepare their hearts, that their heart will be ready to receive the word, that they'll have ears that are open to hear it. And, Lord, above all, may we glorify thee in all that we say and all that we do. May we worship thee, Lord, in spirit and in truth tonight. And, Lord, we pray that you would just bless now. Undertake. Just may you have all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory tonight. For Jesus' sake and for thy honor and glory alone, we ask those things. Amen. Now, if I were to conduct a survey tonight, and if I were to ask each of you what your favorite book in the Bible is, I'm sure some of you tonight will tell me it's John's Gospel. We all love John's Gospel. It's full of the deity of Christ. Maybe tonight you'll tell me it's one of the Psalms. The Psalms are so very encouraging, so much encouragement for the child of God. You maybe tell me it's one of Paul's epistles, so much practical teaching tonight for the child of God. But I'm pretty sure if I were to ask you this, very few, if any, tonight would tell me that their favorite book in the Bible is the book of Leviticus. You see, you start reading the Bible from the beginning, you read through Genesis, then you get into Exodus, and you know there's not really too much difficulty in those two books. Yes, there's challenging parts in it, but by and large, nothing too difficult. And then all of a sudden, you come into the book of Leviticus, and you're bombarded with the sacrifices right at the very beginning. You have the institution of the Aaronic priesthood, you have the food laws, the rituals for washing, you have the numerous feast days. And to be honest, it can all get a bit heavy at times when you read through the book of Leviticus. And for this reason, and many others, it's often a neglected book. See, many will tell you it's difficult to read, it's difficult to understand. I don't get the book of Leviticus. Would it surprise you then if I were to tell you tonight that the first book studied by a Jewish child, it's the book of Leviticus? And I'm not standing here tonight trying to tell you that I'm some sort of authority on the book, because I still have much study to do on it myself. And yet, just because it's a little bit difficult, a bit hard to understand perhaps, that isn't a valid reason for you and I to neglect the book. See, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the verse 16 tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. And therefore, all Scripture being gospel, that includes the book of Leviticus. And therefore, in believing that to be true, believing that all Scripture tonight is inspired, it's God's Word, we must endeavour as Christians to get to grips with Leviticus. It's much to teach us. There's much about Christ in this book. And yes, I admit it isn't the easiest book to understand. And yet if you and I persevere with it, if we really give our all to study this book, there's so much within the book, so much to teach us, so many hidden treasures that you can find within. You know, I remember not long after I was saved, the first time I read this book, and I honestly can tell you tonight that I hadn't a clue about anything that was happening in that book. I couldn't understand any of it. And so I was advised to buy a commentary on Leviticus by a man called Andrew Bonner. And you know, that commentary is fantastic. I would recommend it to anybody here tonight who wants to understand the book a little bit more. Because what he was able to bring out of each verse in Leviticus, it simply just blew me away. It changed my whole opinion. It changed my whole attitude on the book. It changed how I approach the book. Because it often gets the reputation as a book being full of laws, rituals, and ordinances. And yet, principally, it's a book all about the Lord Jesus Christ. See, if you properly want to understand some of the New Testament books, take, for example, the book of Hebrews. If you want to understand Hebrews, then you need to understand the book of Leviticus. Because Leviticus reveals to us tonight all about the character, all about the nature of God. See, Leviticus is all about God's holiness. If you want a theme for the book of Leviticus, it is the theme of sanctification. You ask yourselves tonight, well, what does it mean to be sanctified? We as Christians were called to be sanctified, but what does that actually mean? See, the word sanctified simply means to be holy. It means to be pure. It means to be set apart for a sacred purpose. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse 16, you are to be holy because I am holy. And you know those words, be ye holy, for I am holy, they're actually a direct quotation from the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 11 and the verse number 44. Because every Christian here tonight in this service, every Christian listening tonight, you have been called to be holy. Every Christian tonight has been set apart by God. Every Christian tonight has been set apart for God. And therefore, what better way tonight than to study a book that has the very theme of holiness, the very theme of sanctification at its core? You read how the book of Exodus ends, because Exodus ends there with the building of the tabernacle. The tabernacle, of course, was the place where God was to be worshipped, where he was to be adored. And Leviticus begins by outlining the standards required by God in that worship. Leviticus tells us how we can approach God. Because if you go back into the book of Exodus, the people, they remained at a distance from God. And yet in Leviticus here, the very opening verse, we read that God spoke to Moses in the midst of the tabernacle. And David, he gave an introduction last week to worship. And little did he know that he actually set me up very nicely for what I want to deal with in the next 2 weeks. Because I want to, in the next couple of weeks, to begin to study a series on some of the sacrifices. As I said, I won't get through them all. But in Leviticus chapter 1, we have here the burnt offering. Leviticus chapter 2, there's the meat, there's the grain offering. Leviticus chapter 3, we have the peace offering. Chapter 4 and 5 is the sin offering. And then the end of chapter 5 into chapter 6, we have the trespass offering. And you know, each of these sacrifices, they have something to teach us tonight. Something to teach us particularly about how we can approach God. How we can enjoy fellowship with him, how we can worship him. And we read about the sacrifices and perhaps we think to ourselves, well, you know, what can I learn about these? We don't sacrifice animals anymore. No, we approach God in a different way. Because we approach God through the merits of Christ, Christ Jesus, who made that one sacrifice for sin. And whilst that's true, whilst we know that to be true, we believe that with all our hearts, God hasn't changed. God is an unchangeable God, and therefore we can still learn much through the study of the sacrifices. And I say that's what I want us to do. I would hope that maybe perhaps I could have got through all of the sacrifices in 2 weeks. Maybe do two of them this week, maybe three the next week. Whenever I actually studied it, it was a little bit naive, maybe. I started to study out even the burnt offering. There's so much in it. And you know, each offering deserves and requires so much attention that it would be silly, it wouldn't be right just to rush through it. Because there's so much for us to consider tonight and to consider next week, particularly with regard to worship. And so we're going to begin tonight in Leviticus chapter 1, the first offering. It's the burnt offering. You see, the burnt offering, it's the offering that is most mentioned in Scripture. We have 197 references in the Bible to the burnt offering. You think back to the first offering. You think of Noah as he came out of the ark after the flood waters had subsided. He offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20. Well, that was a burnt offering. And yet, if we are to study out these offerings tonight, if we are to get any benefit from them, we need to look further than the offering. Because each of these offerings, each of these sacrifices, they are but a type. They're an example, they're a pattern of that which was to come. Because each offering, it reminds us of who God is, tells us about his characteristics. Each offering reminds us that we can approach God in his appointed way. And yet each sacrifice, it points toward the provision of a Redeemer. It points tonight towards that Redeemer who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Old Testament believers, you know, they weren't trusting in these animal sacrifices to take away their sin. They knew that the blood of bulls and of goats could never take away sin. But they were looking forward through the sacrifice to that promised Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have that in Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 4, because it says there, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin." Remember tonight what we're going to consider, because Leviticus, it's all about Jesus Christ. And each of these sacrifices tonight, they point to a certain aspect. They find their fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you study out each of these sacrifices, even do it in your own time, you will note that each sacrifice has three things in common. Because each sacrifice, it has an offering, it has a priest who accepts the offering, and it has an offerer, or the one who brings the offering. And you know, we find Christ in all three of these things. Because Christ is the fulfillment of them all. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10 reveals that Christ is the offering. Hebrews chapter 4 and the verse 14, Christ is there called the great high priest. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, Christ is the offerer. And so tonight, having introduced somewhat of what I plan to do, I want us to look a little bit more closely now at the words here in Leviticus chapter 1. We're going to look together at the burnt offering. And I hope tonight it is my aim that what we learn, what we can be taught from the book of Leviticus, that we will be able to apply it in a practical way. It's not all going to be studies, and it's going to be a practical approach as well. How we can approach the Lord practically in our worship. And if I was going to give a subject tonight to sum up what I want to speak on in the next 2 weeks, it would be this. That we can worship God through the burnt offering. We can worship God through the burnt offering. And I want to leave with you three thoughts tonight. There are more things to consider, but we'll look at that next week. Three things that we see here tonight in the burnt offering with regard to our worship. See, the first thing is this, that approaching God, it's inclusive here. And therefore, our worship to God, it is inclusive. And I say that because if you read with me the words of verse number 2, Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 2, if you read with me, halfway down the chapter, it says, "Ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock." And you know that word offering there, it's a word that means to draw near. It's a word that means to come near. And if we're right at the beginning of this message tonight, we see that the individual, they could only approach God on the basis of an offering, on the basis of a sacrifice. But you look a little further at verse number 2, and we also see here there were different animals, different types of animals that could be offered. Verse 2 says there's the offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. And as you read through the book of Leviticus, you see the herd here is a reference to the ox or the bullock in verse number 6. We see the flock here, it is the sheep or the goat in verse number 10. And if you look at verse 14, you'll see the reference there to what is called fowls or birds. And you'll see the fulfillment of that in the turtle dove or in the young pigeons. See, there are different animals that could be offered, different animals that were acceptable to God in worship. And that is something very important to teach us tonight. Because it shows us that anybody here who wanted to bring an offering, anybody who wanted to approach God could do so. And they could do so as long as it was done in accordance to what was outlined here in God's law. And if it was done in that way, it would be acceptable to God. You see, society at that time, it's much like society is today. There were different classes of people, people with different levels of income. See, not everybody could afford to offer an ox every time they made the sacrifice. And so God made the provision to offer a sheep or a goat in that place. If you were a person and you couldn't afford a sheep or a goat, then there was a turtle dove or there was a pigeon, which were commonplace. And therefore, whether you're rich, middle class, or poor, the individual in the Old Testament could approach God. And therefore we see that that approach to God, it is inclusive. And yet then you ask the question tonight, well, how does that relate to? What does that mean regarding the subject of worship? A very simple application is this. That surely it shows us that our worship can be enjoyed by all classes of people tonight. And each of these stipulated sacrifices, it was an acceptable means of approaching God in that worship. See, if a person offered an ox every time, it didn't mean that they were better than somebody else. It wasn't a case of, oh, my offering is of greater value than your offering, and therefore my offering will receive a greater reward than your offering. See, to believe that would be to make Christianity a works-based religion, which it isn't. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what Ephesians tells us. But rather, the principle that we can learn here is this, that you are to give according to your means. You are to give according to your means, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and the verses 12, this is what we read. It says, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. You see, what is important, particularly in worship, is this, is that you and I worship with an upright heart, that we worship with the correct attitude, our priorities are right. You think back to that account of Martha and Mary, Luke chapter 10. Why did the Lord say that Mary had chosen the good part? Why was Mary favored over Martha? Well, it's because she had her priorities right. And you know, if they offered here in the Old Testament, if they went and offered that sacrifice having the wrong attitude, the wrong priorities, it wasn't acceptable to God. And you know, that's the same tonight for you and I as we come to worship the Lord. Because if we come with our priorities wrong, if we come with a wrong attitude, then our worship, it will not be acceptable to God. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 and the verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. You see, nobody here tonight, nobody's worship here tonight, it's better than anybody else's. It's not better than anybody else's based on your standing in society. Because Christ here, he's teaching through Paul that he has created spiritual equality among his people. You remember tonight our reason for studying these sacrifices. Yes, it is to learn what they can teach us, to show us what they symbolize, but it's also to look beyond them because they point to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10 and 12 says, but this man, speaking about Christ there, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, he sat down on the right hand of God. And again, as we consider Christ tonight, we can look back to these animals. You see, you read the different animals here that could be offered. We aren't to assume that they were chosen at random. Because every animal has a certain characteristic, a certain aspect that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're in the habit of taking notes, and if you're taking notes, I'll just give you some references to look up yourself. But in Proverbs chapter 14 and the verse 4, that chapter speaks about the strength and the service of the ox. Isaiah chapter 53 and 7 speaks there of the meekness and of the purity of the sheep. You think of a goat. You think of that final separation between the sheep and the goat. It speaks about sin. It speaks about judgment. The righteous with the sheep, the unrighteous with the goats. And so in this goat, it reminds us of the one who would be sin for us. Psalm 74 and 19, it describes the turtle dove as an animal that is innocent. Leviticus chapter 12 and the verse 8, it speaks of poverty in relation to the pigeon. See, they all speak about Christ. All speak about certain characteristics found in Christ. Because Jesus Christ, you read through his earthly ministry and he served, he displayed great strength throughout that ministry. He was certainly meek, he was pure in all that he did. He was holy. He was innocent and yet for our sakes he became our sin bearer. He was rich, but for our sakes he became poor, humbled himself, even unto death. And yet in each of these animals there is a lesson for us also tonight. There's an example for us to follow as Christians. Because we are to be like Christ. And therefore they teach us surely how we are to behave. The sort of characteristics that we are to have when we engage with other Christians. Whenever we engage with the unsaved, whether it be in the workplace, on the street,
We are to be meek. We are to be mild like Christ was. See, whether it was an ox, whether it was a sheep, whether it was a pigeon, all could approach God through the sacrifice. And everybody here tonight, as we have come to worship, we all can approach God through that same sacrifice, Jesus Christ. And that includes anybody here tonight, anybody listening tonight who isn't saved. And I know this is a prayer meeting and it's principally made up of believers, and yet you never know who's here. I don't know your hearts. I don't know who's listening tonight. And therefore I say to you tonight, if you're listening and you're not saved, if you haven't come to Christ, you know, Christ isn't exclusive. He's available to you tonight. He accepts all who seek him. You think of the words of John chapter 6 and 37. Very familiar words. It says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So you can approach God through Christ. So not only do we see here tonight that all can approach God in worship, but secondly, in Leviticus chapter 1 and the verse 3, it shows us this, that God demanded the best sacrifice, and therefore he demands our best in worship. You read what it says there in verse 3 with me. It says, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a meal without blemish. You ask me tonight, well, why a meal? Some have suggested the reason it is a meal is because the meal was deemed to be the stronger of the two sexes. It was more valuable to the offerer, and therefore it was giving of the best. And I'm not going to get into any arguments tonight whether the male or the female is the more valuable sex tonight. I'm no better than to do that. Because surely there is a more obvious reason for being male. You think about Christ again. Remember, Leviticus is all about Christ. And if the sacrifice is to typify, if it is to represent Christ, Christ who would be a male, and therefore that would be a more perfect example. Isaiah chapter 7, 14, Matthew 1, verse 21, they both say that he was going to be a male, he was going to be a son. But not only a male, you turn back with me to Exodus chapter 12 for a moment. Because Exodus chapter 12, it gives a little more detail to us. Exodus chapter 12 and the verse number 5. Exodus 12 verse 5, it says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. And so it wasn't simply a case of any male animal would do, but no, it tells us here that it had to be a male of the first year. A male that was strong, that was youthful. Therefore, again, you think about something that was more valuable. It was more valuable to the person who was offering it. It had more life, more service to give. It wasn't a case of I can just give any old, mangly, diseased, sickly animal at the end of life. Because only the best would do in that sacrifice. It's a male. It's a male of the first year. And yet you look again at verse number 3. It's also seen in Exodus chapter 12. Because it tells us that it was to be without blemish. See, it must be undefiled. It must be perfect, flawless, without spot. Because what were the consequences of one who presented an offering that was not without blemish? Leviticus chapter 22 and the verse 20 tells us, but whatsoever hath a blemish, he that shall ye not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you. See, the sacrifice that was with blemish, it wasn't accepted by God. In the Old Testament, maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but the Passover lamb, it was kept for 14 days. And it would have been kept for 14 days prior to the sacrifice in order to make sure it had no blemish. See, in that 14-day incubation period, the sickness, the deformity, it would have shown itself. And again, remember, we're thinking about Christ tonight, because Christ is the Lamb that was without blemish. Hebrews 7:26, he's called holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Again, 1 Peter chapter 1:19, he's a Lamb without spot, without blemish. See, why is this Passover Lamb was kept for 14 days? You think about Jesus Christ tonight. You think about 33 years. 33 years of an earthly ministry. 33 years he walked in this earth without one blemish, without one spot. Think of Pontius Pilate, how he said, I find no fault in him. You think of that malefactor on the cross. This man had done nothing amiss. So think of the centurion tonight as he looked up at Christ. He says, certainly this was a righteous man. You think of him tonight of Judas Iscariot. See, after he betrayed Christ, what does he say? He goes out and says, I have betrayed the innocent blood. And yet what can we learn tonight then from our inability to be without blemish? See, we can't be without spot, we can't be without sin. Again, it's very simple because it tells us that salvation can only ever be attained outside of herself. Mankind cannot save himself. He's incapable of doing it. Because only a pure sacrifice would God accept. And only Christ was capable of accomplishing God's plan of redemption. You and I as Christians, we can never achieve this sinless perfection. You and I can never attain to that standard of holiness. And yet that doesn't mean that we aren't to try. We aren't to give the best that we can. Every Christian tonight is called to be like Christ. We're to be like Christ in all parts of our walk. Like Christ in the home. To be like Christ in the workplace with your colleagues. Like Christ in the place of worship. Again, David spoke last week about the command to worship him in spirit and in truth. See, true worship, it requires a purity of heart. Requires the right attitude. And therefore, as we worship him, we're worshiping him tonight in a public setting. But you think even tonight in a private setting at home as you worship him, it must be done with a pure heart. It must be done with a right heart. We are to worship him with nothing less than the best you and I have to offer. And that again really brings us back to the first point, because God doesn't ask for more than we have. But he does demand our best. In fact, he deserves our best. And we all have talents tonight. Maybe you think to yourself, I don't have any talent, I'm no use to anybody. But everybody has a talent. Everybody has something to offer. People here tonight, and you have the ability to preach. People here tonight who are talented singers, musicians, can play the organ, play the piano, you know your way around the recording desk. You have a gift of working with children. You can pray in a prayer meeting publicly. You can pray at home. See, every single one of us tonight, we have something that we can offer to the Lord. We're here tonight to pray. It's a prayer meeting. It's a Bible study. And therefore, we can all offer that prayer tonight in our worship unto him. And I'll be the first to admit tonight that praying in a public setting is not always easy. In fact, it's very difficult at times because we allow the devil to get in to discourage us, to distract us. We think we can't pray as well as somebody else. We don't have the language. We don't have the terminology. I can't pray like that person prayed. And yet God only ever asks for your best. Remember that. So whether you have all the theological language tonight, whether it's just a simple prayer, if it's done with the right heart tonight, if it's done with the correct attitude, then it is acceptable worship unto God. So tonight we have seen that approaching God is inclusive. Our worship, therefore, must be inclusive. We all can worship God. We've seen also that God demands the best in our worship because he demanded the best sacrifice. But thirdly and finally, I want us to consider for a moment that the sacrifice was voluntary. And therefore, our worship tonight, it's voluntary. And again, you just look back at Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 3 with me. It says there, he shall offer it of his own voluntary will. So to do this of a voluntary will here, it means to do of a self-will. It means of one's own desire. You see, the one here who was to bring the sacrifice, he was neither forced into it. He wasn't compelled. He wasn't coerced. He wasn't tricked, if you want to put it that way. Because man was created with free will. You and I tonight are never forced to do something that is contrary to your will. Because everything we do, all of our outward actions, all of our outward volitions, they find their source in the inner part of man, in man's will, in man's inclination, if you want the technical term for tonight. And probably the greatest example that I could give you tonight of such free will, it's again in the Garden of Eden. You think of Genesis chapter 3 and you think of Eve there. Genesis chapter 3 records the conversation between Eve and the serpent. That resulted in Eve eating of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. God has forbidden it. We read of the outward action. Eve, she grabs the fruit, she eats of it. And yet it began within Eve. It was an inward action before it was an outward action. And yes, the serpent, he tempted her. He told her, you know, God will not to cast you off. God will be okay if you do that very thing. And yet for Satan's words to have any success, there had to have been that prior desiring in Eve's heart. Because Eve, in her own heart, she desired the fruit. And the desiring of that fruit, it manifested itself into the outer action of eating it. See, what happened began in the inner, it manifested itself in the outer. And she did what was according to her will, because her will was inclined toward evil. See, just as the one who was offering the sacrifice here did so on a voluntary basis, again, you look to what it points to. You look to Christ. And you think tonight of how Christ willingly went to the cross to suffer, to give himself up as a ransom for the many. John 10:17 says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." Christ says, "I do it of my own free will. I do it of my own accord." And so how do we tie all of this tonight into our worship being voluntary? Well, again, only worship that is offered up on a voluntary basis is acceptable to God. The words in verse 3, it says, of his voluntary will. You read that literally in the original language in the Hebrew. And it can be translated as for his acceptance. It was offered up for his acceptance. And again, that brings us right back to worship being an issue of the heart, an issue of attitude. So we seek now just to bring this study to a close tonight. And yet I need to ask a question of you all tonight. I ask it to myself as well. Because why are we here tonight? Why am I here tonight? Have I come tonight? Have you come tonight because it's Thursday night? It's prayer meeting night, and therefore that's what you do. It's marked on the calendar, Thursday night, prayer meeting night. Are you here because you maybe haven't been in a few weeks and worried what people will say, or haven't seen such and such in a while? You feel compelled to come to keep up appearances? You look outside tonight and the weather's beautiful. And maybe in your heart you'd rather be somewhere else tonight. But you force yourself to come tonight. It'll make me look good. It'll keep my parents off my back. Just a few examples we could give tonight. And yet if that is true of anybody here tonight with respect to their worship, then that worship is anything but voluntary. And it isn't acceptable to God. You think of Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. The verse that speaks primarily about the giving of money, of our offerings, or tithes. And yet surely we can apply it tonight to our worship also. Because Paul says this, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver." God loves worship that is cheerful. Not worship that is given grudgingly, that you feel you have to do it, but because you want to worship him. And the devil, he will do everything in his power to keep you away from the place of worship, do everything that he can to distract you. You think of how Satan there in the wilderness, he brought Christ up to the mountain, Matthew chapter 4, and what does he say? He says, "All these things I will give to thee, if you will fall down and worship me." The world demands our attention. The world demands our worship. You see here, Satan demanded worship that was not his to give. Because only God is worthy tonight of our worship. Revelation 4:11 says this, "To receive glory, honor, and power, because thou alone art worthy." Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. As we come now, just in a moment or two, we come to pray. We can bring our offerings to the Lord. That reminds me of the words of 1 Chronicles 16 and 29. It gives instruction how we can do it. It tells us there, "Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." See, as we come to pray, we are to pray glorifying him. We're to bring our offerings, we're to bring our all to him as we come to pray. We are to worship him in our prayers because he is beautiful, because he is holy, because he is the greatest thing to ever happen to us. I think that's a good place just to leave things tonight. We're going to come back to this again next week. Still a few things to consider, a few practical lessons from the burnt offering. I trust that what we've considered tonight will have been a benefit to you, as it has been to me in studying it. We'll remember that as we worship, worship's inclusive. We all can worship. We all can approach God in the same way through Christ. But when we worship, we are to give our best to the Lord, and nothing but our best will do. And also tonight, may we remember that worship is voluntary. You're here tonight, I trust you're here because you want to be here. You desire to meet with the Lord. You desire to worship him, to fellowship with him. And above all, our worship must be done with the correct heart, a correct attitude. Because only such worship, only such as what we've been considering tonight will be acceptable to God. Thank you. Just before we come to pray tonight, we'll sing a hymn together. It's the hymn 532. Hymn 532, Above Thine Own Ambitions Hear. Another voice is sounding clear. It is the call of God to thee, O leave thy all and follow me. Standing together, please to change your position as we sing.
Oh,
So as we come now to pray, just leave this list before you, a list that is familiar to us all here, and many names have been on this list now for a long time. Pray over them. Take a couple of names even upon your heart tonight and even in your own time as well at home. Think of Brother Peter there and Elizabeth, Aaron. Think of Nigel, Maud. Think of Jamie there and others as well. Just pray for these people that the Lord would touch them, that he would raise them up again to a full measure of health and strength. We've also asked to pray for David, for Rachel, and for the family as they serve the Lord in Uganda for the next 4 or 5 weeks. And I was actually chatting to David this afternoon. He sent me a photograph, not of himself, of the family, what I asked for, but he sent me a photograph of the road. He had made his way to Uganda, and they were on their way to Emmanuel. So I trust that they'll be there by now, that they've got there safely. Just pray for them as a family as they go together and to serve the Lord there. You all know David's heart for the mission field, a real burden to reach those who know not the gospel. And also for Rachel as well, as she seeks to help him in whatever way she can. And also for the kids. I always forget about the kids and like how strange it'll be for them. What a change it'll be from Ballymoney just to have so much sunshine for one. I know we're getting the sunshine this week, but we're not used to that. But just pray for them that they'll settle in quickly, and that as David seeks to bring the gospel to the village and to the people and children in Emmanuel, that God will be glorified in it, that souls will be saved, and we'll even hear good reports of the things that the Lord has been doing in that land of Uganda. So we're going to come now to our time of prayer, and this leads me tonight to say good night to those who are listening online. I trust that you have enjoyed worshipping with us tonight, and even now in your homes where you are, maybe meeting as a family, meeting as a group of families, whatever you do, whatever your custom, you too can come to the Lord. You can offer your sacrifice to him tonight in prayer, and I would encourage you to do that as we come and as we meet him now. And so good night, and I'll see you again soon.